Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is Medium Insights, hosted by Roman Karpyshka. Roman is off tonight. I'm Tom Gould. I'll be filling in and your host for this evening. And before we get started, I want to let you know about something that the Forever Family Foundation is offering that's pretty exciting. Is they have a series of webinars, and the next one is coming up on very soon, September 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Evidence of the Afterlife Through Communication with Electronic Devices, presented by Sonia Rinaldi. Very interesting, and you can reserve a spot on that by going to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. Yes, as I mentioned, this is Medium Insights. It's an interview show. We will be interviewing a medium and letting you know that you can call in with questions. There will be no readings tonight. If you are looking to get a reading, you'll want to tune in next week for mediums and messages. But tonight is just an interview show. But if you'd like to call in and ask a question, if you're curious about anything to do with how mediumship works, call in at 1-888-627-6008. I am very happy to welcome our guest tonight, someone who I met at the Forever Family Foundation grief retreat last January, and I've subsequently had a reading with her, and I know that she is top-notch. I'm talking about Connie Fusella. She's a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation who has had spiritual awareness and experiences since she was a small child. In her early 20s, an allergic reaction to medication led to a near-death experience, which intensified her intuitive abilities. This was the catalyst that inspired her to seek out knowledge and explore mediumship. Throughout the years, she found that her readings became increasingly detailed and frequently felt the presence of those in spirit, bringing their names, how they passed, and specific details. She realized that her readings were becoming mediumistic versus psychic, and knew that she had to further educate herself on communicating with those in spirit. Continual self-improvement and training enabled her to develop into a credible evidential medium. Connie will be at the next Forever Family Foundation grief retreat in San Jose, California on the weekend of October 7th. That is sold out. And then she's doing a live group demonstration in Miami, Florida on October 22nd. And the event details for that will be posted soon on her business Facebook page and Instagram, which then she will be doing the Forever Family Foundation grief retreat back in Fort Myers, Florida in January of 2023. So her calendar is full, but you can find out where she'll be and how to get in touch with her through her website, which is www.meaningfulmessages, all one word, no spaces, meaningfulmessages.info, I-N-F-O. And without any further ado, let's welcome Connie Fusella. Hi, Connie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. It's real nice to speak with you again, and I'm looking forward to these next couple of grief retreats and working with you again as well.
Oh, likewise. Me too. I love going to those grief retreats. They are so inspirational and so rewarding.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with how many people have found comfort through that process.
Absolutely.
Well, we do have someone who sent a question in a day or two ago. We might as well start off in that direction.
And sure.
Some great questions. They're three-part question. It's from a Margaret from Eugene, Oregon, and she asks, what is the communication process like for a spirit on the other side? Is it challenging for them to do? And does it take a lot of energy on that part? This is a question I'd like to hear your response to. What do you think?
Okay, great. Yeah, so I do think it is a bit challenging. So in order for that communication to take place between the medium and the person in spirit is, you know, the medium has to raise their vibration or their energy level up really high. And the person in spirit then has to lower those. So they have to meet in the middle. And that's where that communication takes place. So that's why you'll hear certain phrases of, you know, the space in between, where two worlds meet, the you know, in betwixt, the in between. That's where that communication takes place. And from what I understand, just like some communicators come through in readings with so much evidence and a lot of detail, and maybe some might be a little bit vague. And I think it has to do with, you know, how well two things, how well this, you know, the person in spirit can lower their vibration and how well the medium can then raise theirs and how that connection takes place.
And, you know, you talk about that you have to raise your vibration and you studied to learn how to do that. Do you think that on the other side there has some sort of study or training for people to, or spirit to be able to do what? To communicate as well?
You know, I always, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. I always feel that there are helpers on the other side that help other spirits do all sorts of things, whether it's, you know, the communication piece, whether it's, you know, acting as, you know, we always say we have our angels that help us. I believe that there's certain people that are tasked with that. That's just my personal belief.
Yeah, because I often get questions on, I'm also a co-host of The Gathering that is on Signs of Life Radio the first Thursday of every month. And we get a lot of people calling in saying, you know, I go to a reading and I want to hear from my mother, but she doesn't come through. What does this mean? Does it mean she doesn't want to talk to me, or does it mean that she's busy doing something else? What's your take on that?
So I think there's a lot of different factors that come into play. So, you know, a lot of the times the strongest communicator comes through and, you know, maybe if your dad is also passed, he was kind of vibrant and had a strong personality, he might be the one that came through if your mom was more kind of low key and soft spoken. A lot has to do with how comfortable the spirit, the person in spirit feels with the medium. Maybe, you know, certain relatives or other, you know, friends or people of past have a better sort of rapport with the medium, so they would come through. So there's a lot of different factors. I don't think it's ever the answer that they don't want to come through. It could be a matter of time. You know, maybe, you know, the medium got a couple of people and the time was up, and maybe if they spent more time, you know, mom would have came through. I think there's a lot of different factors that could come into play there.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of variables, and that makes a lot of sense. We do have a caller from California. We're Robin from California. I'm new at this, so I'm not sure how, if coming in on line one. Are you there, Robin?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Hi. You have a question for Connie?
Yes. I'm relatively new at this, and I have not gone to see a medium yet or anything, but we have all seen the movie Ghost, and I worry about all these mediums out there. Is it that character of Whoopi Goldberg before she actually meets Patrick Swayze? You know, that's just, how do I know the difference between someone that can actually, do you know what I mean?
Yep. So that's a good question, Robin. So, you know, it is unfortunate that there are a lot of, you know, fraudulent or, you know, fake mediums or psychics. And it is important that you do your research and, you sort of get a little bit of background on who you want to speak with. That's why I'm so grateful to be certified through the Forever Family Foundation, because they have a pretty strict criteria and vetting process. So, you know, for sure you're getting a quality medium has been tested, so to speak. But, you know, there's a couple of things to look for. If you haven't yet read the book, The Medium Explosion by Bob Ginsberg, who's our founder, it's a great book and has a lot to do with what to look for, what you should avoid. So it's a really a lot of good sections on that. But, you know, you should really, you know, do a little bit of research, find a credible medium. You should always be allowed to record, okay, the session. You never want to deal with somebody that wants to, you know, take jewelry or other strange things from you as, you know, part of payment. And believe me, I've been there, done that. So there's a lot of strange things out there. But you just really want to do your research. And you want to make sure that, you know, when you're getting a reading, you're getting detailed information that really pertains to you, not generic kind of fluffy stuff like, oh, your grandma loved you, she was a great cook. All right, everybody's grandma loved you, and probably most of them were great cooks, right? So you want to get some detailed information.
Yeah, great answer. And yeah, if you go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website, there is a whole section on all of the mediums that we have certified and how to get in touch with them. And one thing I'll throw in too is I say, well, you know, I'll find somebody. And I hopefully Connie will back me up on this, that a lot of mediums actually give better readings or prefer readings over the phone rather than in person. And if you're skeptical about a medium's ability, by all means, do a phone reading, because a lot of the charlatans, the showmen, will pick up on your visual cues, the way you're sitting, the way you're dressed, with jewelry you have, and then they can do what's called a cold reading, where they fish for some information judged on how you look and how you react, and then they can conjure up a reading that is meaningless. Whereas if you're over the phone and you're getting a reading, and that's it. And people say, well, how can they read me if I'm not next to them? Well, they're reading spirit on another dimension. So the fact that you're not next to them is not a big deal.
Right. And another very important point is, when you contact a medium for a reading, do not give them any information. All they need is your name. And actually, I don't need your last name, but a first name and maybe a contact number, however they're reading you. But don't go into detail like, oh, I'd like to have a reading because I lost my husband, he died of cancer, blah, 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 blah. Don't give them any information. When you're in a reading with a medium, you should not be giving really any information unless a medium is asking you to verify something after they've told you that, or they're asking you to clarify something that, you know, in the way that they're receiving some information. So that's another good way to know whether you have somebody that's authentic or not.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. You know, in reading your bio, I see you started off with as doing psychic and then grew into mediumistic readings. How do you tell the difference, whether you're getting something psychically or whether you're getting a medium reading?
Well, you know, in the beginning, that's, you know, what I needed to learn. But for me, you know, psychic is you're reading energy, and I use tarot cards for that. And it's more of, you know, kind of past, present, what's going on, what's, you know, what's happening around you, questions and answers. But the mediumship is where there is the two-way communication between the medium and the deceased. So that's how it's a different way of making the connection, making a link to that contact, and then receiving the information from them as you get it, and then giving it to your client.
Now, I've also heard that the mediums get their information different ways. Some will see a little movie played out in their head, or some will see symbols, some will actually hear words. How do you get your messages?
So I work a lot of different ways. You know, my strongest that I started with, you know, as a child, is the knowing, or the claircognizant, that knowing, you just know it. So even if I, you know, say, you know, I have your mom here, she had blue eyes, I may not actually be seeing it, I just know it. I know that that's to be true. It's, you know, your feeling. I do hear, so I hear names, I hear sounds, and I do see, sometimes I actually see it like a picture in front of me, but the other times that I see it's with, you know, my third eye or my mind's eye. And so, so I use a lot of my different senses, and also clairsentience, which is your feelings. You know, you feel it, like in the way that they passed, or, you know, a rapid heartbeat or something like that.
Fascinating. Also fascinating to me is that the you say you've had the ability since birth, basically. You knew you had it as a child, but it wasn't until you had a near-death experience that really brought it to the forefront. Could you tell us about the near-death experience? That's fascinating.
Yeah. So many years ago, over 30 years ago, I had an allergic reaction to medication. I was working in New York City at the time. And luckily, the person that I worked with had their own chauffeur. It was a private investment company. And I was having symptoms, and my heart was racing. And they put me in the back of the limo and took me to the hospital. And all I remember is, you know, my heart was pounding like out of my chest. And when I got there, I was in ventricular cardiac arrest. And I just remember them like strapping me down, and I could see, you know, the masked people looking down at me and saying, you know, we're losing her. And then that's all I remember. And then all of a sudden, I was on my back, and it kind of felt like if you ever had an MRI, a closed MRI, you know, like you're in that very tight little tunnel feeling. That's what it felt like. And I was on my back and feet first, kind of moving. It almost felt like something you see, like a, I don't know, in like a space or a Star Wars thing, where you're going and it's all light. And I'm going like almost like on a Disney ride, you know, like I'm going like fast. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. And as this is going on, I'm out of my body, and I could see myself, you know, on the table, like in the room, and everybody kind of around me. And then I'm at the going toward the tunnel, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, I get like sucked back. And that's when they brought me back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Now, you talked about working. You've worked in the day-to-day world. I don't know how to call it, you know, out in the
right.
What did you do as for a job before you, or are you full-time medium work now?
So I do have another job, a full-time job, and I do the mediumship, you know, part-time, you know, weekends. And so I kind of incorporate it, you know, as I go along. You know, eventually, you know, my goal would be to do this, you know, full-time, as it's, you know, that's what my passion is. And, but, you know, for right now, you know, I do need my health benefits.
Yes. Oh, yes. So how long have you been doing readings for, you know, for hire, basically?
Well, probably about 15 years. About 15 years. And then about 10 years is when I started doing the medium readings.
Now, a lot of people who are mediums right away get to writing a book about their experiences. Have you thought in that direction at all? Are you planning one? Do you have one in the works?
I haven't yet. But if there's anybody out there that'd like to write a book about me, feel free to contact me.
All right. Well, maybe you'll be seeing one at the California retreat. Yeah, and I did mention that I have had a reading with you, which was excellent. And
thank you.
It was, you do half-hour readings.
Correct. Yeah, I find that half an hour usually gives, you know, my clients what they're looking for. I don't really have ever had anybody saying, oh, you know, I need more time. You know, and if they do, I always keep, you know, the time open so that if I need another 15 minutes or so, or, you know, then we do that. But I like to start with the half hour and see how we do, and then we'll take it from there.
And you didn't also in the bio mention how you studied to improve your mediumistic abilities. Who did you study with? How did you go about that?
Well, so kind of like where I'm living, you know, it was a little bit difficult to try to go and do a lot of in-person training, but I was very fortunate to have trained with Janet Nohavik, who has recently passed, and also Mavis Patilla, who has recently passed as well, John Holland, Tony Stockwell, Lisa Williams. Those are a few, Paul Jacobs. Those are a few of the people that I trained with. And I try to get a good, you know, a good mixture of different teachers. And then I'd like to take, you know, what resonates with me and what works best for me. Because I think it's really important for anybody that's, you know, dabbling into this or, you know, trying to find their own way into the world of psychic or mediumship. It's just important that you stay true to yourself, because everybody's unique. And, you know, I kind of started down a path when I first started to get some training, and it was very regimented. And it was like, okay, you need to do this, and it happens this way, and this, and so, you know, and it wasn't working for me. And I thought, my goodness, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to do this, because that's not how it works for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then I sought out, you know, different teachers, and the ones that I mentioned were excellent, excellent mentors and teachers. And then I realized, and they were all about, you know, individuality and, you know, encouraging to do what resonates with you and take it and make it your own.
Yeah, the names you mentioned. And actually, John Holland was at the grief retreat where we met, wasn't he?
Yes. And that was like such a thrill for me, you know, to be with like one of my teachers. Absolutely. Yeah. And Joe Scheel also. I studied with Joe Scheel also, and he was there.
Oh, yeah. I love Joe.
Yes.
We have a question here that says, have you any suggestions for those who want to develop their own abilities? What would you say to them?
I would suggest, you know, taking classes, and, you know, the online classes are very, very good. And I will say I took, you know, a lot of classes, you know, at the Journey Within, Janet Nohavik's, Spiritualist Church there. And they were excellent classes. And what's nice about it, you know, any classes that are online, they kind of, group you into the level, that you're at, whether you're beginning, you know, medium or, you know, excellent, depending on, you know, where you think you are. And then you're with like-minded students on the same level. So you get to learn with them. And then you can also develop a rapport, you know, with those students. So it's really nice.
That is nice. I see that you're, again, I mentioned that you will be doing a group demonstration in Miami, Florida on October 22nd. How big of a group do you anticipate?
I think that's probably going to be about 25. So, yeah.
How big of a group have you read that you get comfortable with?
I I would say probably up to 60 so far. And I'm actually really comfortable in any size group. It's amazing. If you had asked me like 3 years ago, I probably would have said, no. Yeah. But it's something that after, you know, doing so many and getting used to it, and it's not so much the ability that was kind of deterring me. It was like I was never one to stand up in front of people, you know, so that was what I had to overcome. So, you know, just practice and getting comfortable in front of crowds. And I love it. And honestly, now it's my most favorite thing to do. I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I know that we have a couple of famous mediums here on Long Island who are playing to 4,000 seat theaters. So that's,
yeah. And I would be fine with that. I think it's, you know, and it's interesting because I have a lot of friends too that are also mediums, and not, you know, all mediums like to do that. Some prefer to do the individual readings, the one-on-one, and then, you know, the platform mediums, which they're called, you know, to be in front of the crowds. It's just different. It's a different way. You have to learn how to work the energy in the room. And that, you know, that takes some time and practice in doing that.
Well, along that same line, when you're in a group reading, how are you drawn to a person? Are you drawn to a person? Or I've seen some who will throw out some information and look for a show of hands on who it connects to. Or do you connect to the living person knowing that there's something coming through for them? Or how do you?
You know, I actually do it both ways. I do it both ways. Sometimes, you know, I have the spirit communicator first, and then other times, like, I just, you know, I know that I'm supposed to go to the person, you know, sitting, you know, two rows back, or maybe it's the color of their shirt. I know I'm supposed to go to them. So yeah, it works both ways for me.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned Janet Nohavik, who was such, I'm still reeling from that.
Yeah.
She was just a tremendous source for this whole spiritual adventure. And then she had as you also mentioned, her journey within spiritualist church that she had. Mm-hmm. You got development classes. Do you know without her? Is there somebody who's taking over?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's still going on. There's, you know, lots of other people that are stepping up and you know, continuing, you know, running everything there. So, yeah, there's still lots going on there. So, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. Let's see what else I've got. Your answers are tremendous and concise, and
so I'm going to come up
with more questions. Let's see. The near death experience, mm-hmm. when you were a kid, how is it that you knew that you were you seeing things? I hear a lot of talk of seeing people in your bedroom when you're a child and that sort of thing and being freaked out by it. How did it manifest to you?
So for me, like, you know, as a small child, I actually had a stuffed animal, a little lion I called Leah. And I used to think at the time that it talked to me, right? And I'd carry on my conversations with my stuffed animal. So, of course, as a child, I didn't know, you know, I was talking to spirit. But now, looking back, I realized what was happening. Also, the thing is, you know, as I went through, you know, I went to, you know, Catholic school for 8 years. And, you know, I never studied for a test. I never brought a book home. This continued all through high school. I was an A-plus student, you know, my whole life. And so that's where that clear cognizant or that clear, you know, knowing came in. It was like I knew the answers to the tests before I had them. I just knew the correct answer. So, you know, it came easy for me. So that's kind of how it started. And then as I became a teenager and, you know, into, you know, early 20s or so, I started having some premonitions and seeing things before they happened, you know, and just, you know, and also, you know, that clear cognizance was really, you know, honing in and becoming strong with, you know, gut sense of things. And then after I had the near-death experience, I moved to New York City shortly after that, and I felt myself, you know, being drawn to the psychic. So I would go for readings, and I just was like, I couldn't get enough of it. And of course, this is where, you know, I found, you know, all the frauds at the time, right? But that's where I bought my first tarot card deck, and it's the same deck that I use today. And I can tell you today, I bought that card deck, I think in 1993, maybe. And I still don't know the meanings of the cards. So I've never, learned, or I guess just never came to me that way to learn the meanings of the cards. And, I do read a little bit differently. I use the whole deck. I think there's 76 cards. I lay them all down. I don't let anyone touch my cards. I put them in piles, and then I work with spirit and just say what comes to me. So it's all intuitive reading that way.
Now, growing up with this ability, was it terribly lonely, or did you have family members who were either supportive or had the same ability?
Oh, yeah, interesting. So I didn't talk about it, you know, because I really didn't know, really understand what it was, you know, at the time. And it wasn't until I bought the tarot card deck that I started to doing it. I mean, you know, honestly, I really didn't talk about it that much because I found where I was, you know, a couple of times that I mentioned it, I didn't feel like it was well received, or maybe people didn't understand it. So I kind of went, you know, kind of flew below the radar, so to speak, for several years. In fact, I think it was, I don't know how long ago, maybe 2009 or so, I was published in a book as this called She Shines as the Psychic Next Door. And it was like, you know, I can't tell you like how many people said, I didn't know you were a psychic. It's because I never promoted, I never really talked about it. I didn't want to, you know, kind of infringe on other people's belief system, you know, and I was only doing it part-time, and I just kind of figured, you know, it'll come when it needs to come. So I kind of flew below the radar, actually for many, many years. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, then you mentioned that you were raised Catholic. I imagine you could get some pretty adverse reactions in that realm. How do you reconcile that, the dogma of the Catholic religion, with what you do?
Right. You know, so again, I just think, you know, I respect everybody's, you know, beliefs, and I can only go by, you know, what I know and what I've experienced. So, you know, and that's really all I can say. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, I still believe in, and there's other things that, you know, don't, like you said, don't coincide with Catholic beliefs. So, you know, I think that's why I flew under the radar, so long too. And I hear this from a lot of mediums, you know, it's a struggle of who you are, you know, is this real, you know, should I be doing this, you know, why me, all of that kind of stuff. I've embraced it, and I think, you know, I believe I do have a purpose, and I think it's important to educate. And when I do my group demonstrations, I always open up with like 10 or 15 minutes of education on, you know, mediumship and psychic and how it works and, you know, what it means and why we do it. And, you know, the proof that life goes on and consciousness exists after we pass. And I think that's really important because it gives people so much hope and so much, relief from their grief if they can understand it and embrace it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I've studied different religions and that sort of thing. And of course, I study spirituality. And mm-hmm. the more I study, the more I realize that it's not outside the realm of the teachings of all the religions. They all teach about the eternal soul and life goes on. I mean, whether you call it heaven or what, it's still right. talking about an afterlife. So it's not so far afield. And yet, like we say, that somebody who's in the dogma of religion can get their hackles up.
Right, right.
After all, Janet Nohavik was a nun before.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Have you ever found a reading where something particularly unusual came through? Do you have any?
Oh, all the time. I get some strange stuff, and I laugh. A couple of things. One time, I was reading. An elderly lady, she was probably in her 80s, and I had her husband, and he kept showing me fava beans. Do you know what fava beans are?
Only from the Silence of the Lambs movie. Hannibal Lecter likes to eat liver with a fava bean.
Right, so I was like, why am I seeing fava beans of all things? And so she started laughing and she says, I eat like a handful of them every night. They're like good for you or something. And I was like, okay. You know, so it was like, you know, that was just so strange, you know. But yeah, I see, a lot of the times I'll see like, you know, strange animals that mean, you know, something. There's a lot of interesting things that come through. One time I kept seeing a buffalo, and I'm like, I wasn't sure. I kept seeing an image of a buffalo, and I was in a demonstration, and I kept saying, I feel like it's a buffalo in Alaska. And the girl raised her hand, and she was from Alaska, and she lifted up her shirt, and she had a big tattoo of a buffalo on her. Yeah. So, you know, it's just amazing what spirit can do. And I always say, this isn't me. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm the conduit, but, I end some readings and I'm just in awe of, you know, the things that they see and they know and how they can get that across. It just amazes me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Speaking of strange things, do you ever have a stranger spirit, like somebody who you don't know or the sitter doesn't know that's coming through to you trying to get a message?
I do get some, you know, people that come through and then maybe a lot of the times what happens is, and especially in a group demonstration, because, you know, you're a limited time with, you know, each individual. And a lot of the times you may get somebody and you're talking about them and the person doesn't recognize them. It could be an uncle or a great uncle or something. And maybe they didn't know them that well, but as I like to say, where there's a medium, there's a spirit trying to come through, right? So yeah. Even if you don't know them, they know you. And it's like, you know, okay, here's a medium. Here's my chance, right? I'm going to come in and make myself known, tell everybody I'm okay. So that's what happens a lot. Or, you know, like a little flyby, as I like to call them. Sometimes I hear a name and somebody will go, oh, but that was my neighbor. It's like, yeah, well, he's just letting you know he's saying hello.
I know you mentioned Joe Scheel before. He has a great demonstration that he does, which I just love. He's in a room full of people, and he says, okay, on the count of three, I want everybody to say something about your loved one. And he goes, one, two, three, and then the whole room is chattering, chattering, chattering. And then he goes, welcome to my world.
Oh my gosh. I do the same thing, but I have everybody. When I do my demonstration and I actually talk about the different clairs and how, you know, I receive my information and how everything kind of is coming in at once. And I'm hearing, I'm seeing, I'm feeling, everybody's lining up, you know, cause they know you're here. And then I tell everybody on the count of three to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. and then I say, welcome to my world. Cause that's what it sounds like to me.
That's incredible. Which also brings up the thought that when you're when you're off, when you're in the downtime. I know there are a lot of different mediums have different methods to let spirit know that you're not open for business. Is there something you do specifically to let spirit know, you know, I'll get to you when I'm ready to get to you kind of thing?
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things that you learn as, you know, you develop into a medium is where, you know, to set your boundaries. I, you know, let spirit know, you know, when I'm preparing for a reading, when I'm in the reading, when I'm doing a demonstration, that's when you need to be with me, you know, and so I really, you know, don't experience them, you know, stepping in when I'm not ready for them. So now, that's not to say, you know, if I'm out somewhere and, you know, I sense something, if I'm sitting quietly, like in a doctor's office or something, you know, I may sense something, but, you know, I really wouldn't approach anybody unless, you know, I knew that they were open to this, you know, because again, I want to respect everybody's belief system.
Yeah. You mentioned Lisa Williams. I know she puts on a stocking cap when she's off, basically.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
She used to have a TV show and we would watch that. I thought that was interesting. She put up stocking caps and yeah, that's it. I'm closed.
Wow.
And also a lot, oh yeah, you know, we're both sort of in the business and you know, when two people in the business, they throw around the terms that not the whole, everybody's so familiar with. And I know we've talked about the mentioned a few times the clairs. Could you take a minute and tell our listeners about the clairs?
Right. So the clairs are, you know, the way that, you know, a psychic or a medium receives information. And so, you know, the most common term that people are familiar with is probably clairvoyance, which clair is the French word for clear. So clairvoyance simply means clear seeing, or, you know, whether you're seeing pictures or images, or as I mentioned before, the third eye or your mind's eye, you're seeing that. And there's a lot other clairaudience is where you're is clear hearing. Clear gusto or clear gustance is clear tasting. Clear sentience is where you're feeling. I meant clear cognizant is the clear knowing. So there's you know, lots of different clairs. And different mediums work differently. Some use one, some use a couple, some use them all.
Another question that I usually get on my show a lot is what's it like on the other side? I know a lot of the messages are coming through for the loved one and just have sort of like things.
So, I think you broke up there a little bit, Tom.
Oh, sorry.
What's it like on the other side? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, do you get any sense of that from any of the readings that you've done that any spirit comes through with, like, what it's like over there?
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of the times, it's very interesting. About a month ago, I had a very interesting reading with a lady that lost her husband. And at the end of the reading, she asked me, she said, well, when I pass, will he be there to meet me? And I said, of course. And she said to me, well, does he have a house picked out for us? Huh. And I thought to myself, I said, excuse me? Like, I thought I didn't hear her right. And she says, well, does he have a house already picked out for us to live in? And I thought to myself, you know, this is very interesting because a lot of the times, like if I do readings and let's say the person was an avid fisherman, that's what he loved to do, to be on the boat fishing. Well, when I bring them through, you know, I see them on the boat and fishing. So, you know, if they love to play sports, they're playing sports. Also, if a lot of the times, if I have someone, especially like a child that for some reason had some sort of impairment that prohibited them from walking or was wheelchair bound for some reason, you know, early on,
yeah.
I maybe I'll see them, you know, dancing or, you know, playing baseball, something that they were never able to do, but wanted to do. So I feel that when you're over there, when we get over there, my opinion is it's everything that you ever wished for, like what your vision of what it is. If it means living in a beautiful house and, you know, being reunited with your husband in the house of your dreams, then that's what it is. If it's doing your favorite thing, the things that you like to, you know, that you loved, and you're healthy and you're, you know, you're in your best health and you look the best you've ever looked and you feel great, that's what it is. So I think that, you know, I really believe it's an individual interpretation of what happiness and peacefulness means to you.
Yeah, I agree with that. About a year or so ago, I had cataract surgery, and you know, before you have the surgery, everything's blurry and that sort of thing, and then you have the cataract surgery and you see much clearer again. But what I didn't realize that would happen, another thing, was how vivid the colors were when I got the new lens in. And I have a feeling, and from what I've heard in readings, is that when we are stripped of this physical body with all its limitations, that we see that much clearer. They talk about how beautiful it is, how vivid the colors are, and
yes,
in that way.
So I also, besides the near death, I actually I had two I guess out of body experiences where I've traveled over there, and my experience was incredible. There's little children there with. They look like, you know, how you see like in the paintings in the Vatican, like the cherubs with the rosy cheeks and, you know, the brightest of eyes and the bluest of skies, and the flowers are vibrant. Yeah, the colors were like just unbelievable. Also the feeling that I have was just so peaceful. So I know that to be true just from my own personal experience of what I've seen and what I've experienced and felt.
Yeah. And I, when you talk about the feelings, you get that feeling of love, of joy, which brings up a question. Are there evil spirits? Have you ever come across an evil spirit?
So, I personally don't believe in that. I think, you know, Hollywood and movies and stuff have done, you know, a good job in making us think there's, you know, creepy spirits under the stairs or something. But I don't think that. Are there spirits with lower energies? Yes. Just like, you know, if you, you know, the difference between someone coming through that's the you know, loving mother versus someone coming through that was, you know, abusive, you know, alcoholic, mean, you know, grandfather or something. The energy feels different. Okay. So I just think, you know, the way that I like to categorize it is higher and lower energies.
And some readings that I've seen, when somebody, as you explain, an abusive person comes through, and the sitter will often say, I don't want to hear from him. He was a real jerk. But then they come through, and most of them come through to apologize. So when you get to the other side, you do realize the errors of your ways, hopefully.
Absolutely. And it's also important to, you know, for the medium that I try to remember to say this, like I said, especially when I do demonstrations, that, you know, if I bringing through someone that you would rather not hear from, please let me know, because, you know, I'll just ask the person, you know, just say, sorry, you know, just, you know, because maybe the person isn't ready. It may be something traumatic. And the last thing that you would want to do, you know, as a medium is to continue with a reading where this poor, you know, client is having to relive, you know, some terrible moments in their life. But, you know, having said that, most, you know, I would say most, if not all of the time, these, you know, spirits are coming through usually to apologize. And that in itself is what's going to heal that person and help them, you know, kind of get past, you know, whatever transpired between them while they were here.
What's your take on Ouija boards?
So I have never done one. And every time, you know, I'm watching a movie and I see that, I kind of mention, it's like, I don't know if I like that, to tell you the truth. I've never been one that was a fan of the physical phenomenon, you know, part of the mediumship. Uh-huh. It's just not my thing. I'm more... you know, I'd rather just do the evidential, you know, the mental mediumship, so to speak, than that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
and I don't like the idea of people not knowing what they're doing, you know, kind of playing around with that. I don't know. It just,
yeah, usually you, from what I've seen, and as a kid, we had one as a kid, and you always sit down and you go, is there anybody out there? Well, then you're opening the door for anybody.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, because if you're not, you know, a trained medium, you're really not going to, you know, you're not going to have that real two-way communication to understand, you know, who you're speaking with.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, we also get a lot of questions from people, and rightfully so, that, you know, they maybe have a lonely life where their biggest love in their lives are their pets. And they cross over. It's the grief is just as heavy for many of these people.
Absolutely.
Do you communicate with pets as well?
I do. I didn't know that I did in the very beginning, but, you know, lots of pets come through for me. And I think it's because I'm personally a dog lover. I rescue dogs. I've got, you know, three right now. So I typically get a lot of dogs, but I've gotten birds, I get cats, I got a duck, I've got rabbits,
wow.
All sorts of things. Yeah, so yeah, the animals do come for me. Sometimes I'll get their name or how they passed. In fact, it was just 2 days ago, I had someone come for a reading, and she wanted to hear from her pet. And it was a, what do you call that, a... one of those dogs, assistant dog. I forgot the real name. Service dog. That's it. And he showed himself riding on a golf cart, and then with a blanket, specifically a blanket. And the poor thing, she started to cry because that was his favorite thing to do, go on the golf cart ride with him. And when he passed, she covered him with a blanket. He kept talking about the blanket, and she still has the blanket, and she sleeps with that blanket. So it was very important, you know, two pieces of evidence, the golf cart and that blanket. So, yeah, the pets come through, and they give evidence as well.
Another question that we get often is that, you know, you're here on Earth, and you're missing your loved ones terribly, and your loved one in spirit is in this beautiful, wonderful place where there's so many opportunities and so much to do. And people wonder, well, do they miss us the way that we miss them? What do you get on that front?
I absolutely think so. I believe there's no boundaries with love. So, you know, from this world to the next, I don't think that tie is ever broken. And the one thing that I always tell people, because, you know, sometimes, you know, depending on their stage of grief, you know, sometimes it's, you know, worse than others, what they're going through, or, you know, more tragic than others. There's all different, you know, types, as you well know, in stages. But I always tell people, one, they're always around us. You know, their love hasn't changed. But as evidenced by signs that they give, and I especially love to give the type of evidence of what they see after they've passed. So, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, who they were, how they passed, you know, their birth date, their passing month, things like that. But when you can tell somebody what they see after they've passed, or tell them about something in their home that they're aware of and seeing, you know, and just today I had a reading and, you know, for instance, and I said, you know, do you have sunglasses like all over the house, like a bunch of sunglasses? And sure enough, he did. And also I saw a bunch of ceramic vases and sure enough, he did. And I'm like, well, you know, that is, you know, your mom telling me, you know, she's with you. She's in your house. She sees all these things, you know? So I think that's real important as far as evidence go to, you know, so people can truly believe that they stay with us, that our loved ones stay with us. And the other thing that I think is so important, because some people are in, you know, a terrible state of grief, that that everybody knows that the best and the best way we can honor any loved one's memory that has passed is to continue to live the best possible life that we can while we're here. And I feel that that's truly the best way we can honor their memory is by doing that.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's a perfect way to end the hour that we have zipped right by. I want to remind everybody, if you want to get in touch with Connie and know where she'll be next or how you can get a reading, go to her website, www.meaningfulmessages, all one word, .info. And we always end our show with a saying that...
Oh, can I join in now?
Yeah, Melissa's going to help us out here.
Hello, Connie.
Hey, Melissa.
We always end our program by saying, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Connie.
Good night. Thank you.
See you soon, Connie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.